Let me ask a quick organizational. Well, I'm going to talk a lot about organization today, but Ashley, if Andrew came to you and said, "I'm going to take a week off or whatever, 2 weeks," do you know how to reschedule him? Can he say that to you? I'm going to be out a week, and you know how to reschedule.
Yeah, it would be mainly his weekly calls, I'd say. If he took a week out and then reaching out to clients, we haven't really done that like start to finish yet because he hasn't. I don't think I've rescheduled a lot of your stuff yet, Andrew, but I think it would be pretty easy to organize it all if needed.
Well, about how many are most of your calls, Andrew? Review calls. Quarterly calls. Are you doing the monthly calls also?
I do the monthlies.
Okay, and so you've got four quarterly reviews, and then you've got the monthly calls scheduled.
Yep.
Actually, here's how I would suggest you do it. The way I like to measure organization around the scheduling tool is just like I said before. If I ask you the question, if Andrew is taking a week off, he comes to say, "I'm going to take the week of August 13th off," you know what to do. Andrew doesn't have to talk about it again. So what we recommend is not rescheduling the non-review month calls.
So like the monthly check-ins, don't rescheduling.
Yeah. I know you know what I'm talking about. I know what you're talking about. I hate the word check-in because clients don't find any value in a how you doing call for the most part. So the monthly non-review calls, and we don't recommend rescheduling those. And the way you let people know is, let's assume you're doing it via email. Andrew is going to be out on August the 12th. Your next scheduled call, he won't be available. Is there anything that I can do for you or anything that I can pass on to Andrew? You with me?
Yes. No, I like
99% of the time, the client's going to say, "No, everything is good." And your response is, "Terrific. Andrew will call you at the regular time next month." Are you with me on that?
Yes, I am.
So Andrew, what I want is once Andrew tells you that, he does not have to get involved again, Andrew or Will or John, whoever it is. Now, if it's a review call, a quarterly review, it sounds pretty much the same. Andrew's going to be out on August the 12th. That's when your next review is scheduled. Here are some times that it would work. So you give them an opportunity. You want to reschedule the quarterlies. But if you get in the habit of rescheduling the non-quarterlies, it's going to really bog you down. You got it?
Yes, I got it, and I think that makes sense.
Andrew, is that?
Yeah, I'm a little unique in that my whole year is planned in January, so I know when I'm going to be out. And if I'm on the call with somebody, I'll say, "Hey, next month I'm going to be out. You know, we can pick it up the following month," which is how I've handled it, you know, thus far. So for me to unexpectedly be out is extremely rare, but it's good to know how to handle that.
But the clients know when. So if you're talking to them in July and you're going to be out in August, you tell them.
I just tell them on that call. I'm going to say, "Hey, next month I'm going to be out that day. You know,
how do you communicate that to Ashley so she doesn't have to worry about you not making a call?
I just let her know.
All right. Does that work for you, Ashley?
Yes, it does, and I think it's worked well so far when Andrew's been out. So, but I think I like what you said with the template.
Yeah, I think that's great.
That makes sense with the rescheduling. Right. Some of the check-in calls can be a little much.
And yeah, we've got ECA is starting on August 13th, so that'll, you know, also further diversify.
Okay. All right. Will, you okay with that?
I am. Yes.
All right. Guys, any success stories since our June meeting?
Remember. Will and I are just laughing. We don't remember. We've had a couple of folks that we have been chasing fund right at the end of June and early July. So the lady that we discussed down in Tallahassee.
Uh-huh.
We also had a real estate executive that John had been chasing for a long time fund right around the 4th of July. Both of those have been, one was a referral, the other was a personal contact. So those have been good, and we've had, I actually just got a referral from an existing client on somebody who sold their business, so I've reached out to them, and it was an unsolicited referral. The guy brought it up on the monthly call.
Wow. Wow. It doesn't get any better than that, Andrew. That's,
yep.
That's terrific. Andrew, our last call, you mentioned that you all have a way of tracking prospects, but in your words, it's done on the fly. And
yes.
Then you said something I love. You know, I'd rather be grading somebody else's work than doing the work.
Yep.
Those weren't your exact words, but I've said that before in my life. I'd like to spend a little bit of time today on building a tracking system on your prospects. I sent you all a couple of documents in the last couple of days. Do you have those in front of you?
Yes.
Here's what I'm trying to do. I don't know how to do an Excel spreadsheet. What I'm going to suggest, I'm sure somebody in your team or somewhere in the firm can help you do this. But what I've done on the left side is the items that I would want on a report. And what I'm viewing, Andrew, is you can pick up a report and you can see every prospect, whether it's yours or John or Will's, right there in alphabetical order. Obviously you want the name of the prospect. You'd want the name of the city in there. You'd want to know what their potential is. You might be looking at you need to be able to look at it, Andrew, John's prospects, and get to know those people as well as you can, even though you haven't talked with them. I'd want their present advisor. Are they at Bessemer? Are they at Goldman? Whatever. I want the person who's got primary responsibility. Somebody has to be responsible for every prospect. The date of the initial contact, the source of the prospect, referral, if it was a referral, who that referral was, the last contact, any deadlines that are out there. You've promised to review their portfolio and get back to them by August the 20th, whatever. And then just any general notes. So I'm viewing those on one sheet of as items to report on. Andrew, what else would you want in there? Not thinking just for your use, but for use of Will and John also.
I would want to know, and I'm not going to articulate this well because I'm thinking on the fly, but I would want to know any pressure points, i.e. unhappy with service, you know, philanthropic, that kind of stuff. And I know that's general notes, but I would want to see those right there so that when I was talking to the person, I would know, for example, this one person that we've kind of fallen into, we know they're very philanthropic. So that's on all of our radar screens of anything with around philanthropy that, you know, we're drafting that out and all bringing it to each other's attention.
Okay. What else is missing there?
I don't really see anything there except for potentially a timing on close or timing on decision.
Okay.
And that doesn't have to be like August 5th. It'd be, in my mind, you'd have categories. You'd say, you know, less than 30 days, less than 90 days, you know, less than 6 months.
All right. Makes sense. Anything that I've put down there that you don't think would be valuable to you?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Will, same question. what are Andrew and I missing here? What would you want to have tracked?
Yeah, the only other thing I would want to have tracked is, I guess any deadlines is might be the same thing, or like next contact. Put a date on there for next contact. Say you pinged them on today, you want to reach out to them next month or in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and next step or next contact. So it requires an action on these prospects, and you can look at the date. You can even sort by the date, and continually you almost pull it up every day and say, oh, I got to reach out to this guy tomorrow or the next day, just have a touch point. So that's the only other thing I would have, is some sort of accountability or some sort of column that says next step or next contact.
Okay. All right. So in addition to the ones that I have put down here, pressure points, timing on decision, and next contact. Anything else, Andrew or Will?
No, I think it looks good.
Ashley, anything you'd want to put on there from your point of view?
No, I think I guess what Will said, the next contact I think would be the most important, or anything the CSA needs to do.
Okay. All right. Now let's look to the next column, which is being able to sort this thing. I think it would be good to sort it by prospect name, by primary advisor. John might want to just look at his. Andrew, yours. Primary CSA. I don't know how you all are going to divide the duties yet between UCIA and Ashley, but it would be good to, if there's a primary CSA, that you could sort it by CSA, just to paint a bad picture. If you do by CSA, and nobody is Ashley sees something under her name, and she had no idea that was her primary responsibility. That's the reason for putting that there. And then the city where they are, I just keep thinking of John talking about, is it Kiowa?
I just jumped on from Kiowa.
How you doing, John?
Good, sorry, I just literally got off my call.
Well, as I said to the rest of the team, I'll always stand behind a client. We're going over the prospecting report. Do you have that in front of you? I sent it to you over the weekend.
Don't let me slow you guys down. Just keep going.
All right. So, Andrew, anything that any other way you'd want to see this report sorted?
Yeah, I'd want to see potential assets on there, so you can sort it that way.
Okay. What else? That's a good thought.
Yeah, I don't care as much about the. I mean, we're a small enough team. We'll figure out the primary CSA, but to be able to sort by that, I'm not sure that's as. It might be useful for other people. And then I would want to also sort by. Well, I mean, all the items on the report you would be able to sort by, because if you do it in an Excel spreadsheet, you can sort. But I would also, I would sort by deadlines, because there would be dates on that, and I could see what's coming up. And I would also sort by last contact, and I would sort it opposite. I would sort it not by most recent. I would sort it, you know, by furthest, so that I could see were there any that I had just overlooked or had gotten orphaned that we need to pop again.
Okay. All right. All this could be done with an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, you can sort. You just sort by columns and use headers, and then you can sort it however you want. And you can put hot buttons in.
Okay. Is the ability to get that done in the team? Does somebody know how to do that?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Who would that be?
Right now, it would fall to Ashley, but I also know how to do it. And
yeah,
then ECO would know how to do it as well.
All right. Who would be responsible for making sure this list is kept up to speed? That if Ashley's doing the report, Andrew, you get a new prospect. How are you going to make sure Ashley knows all the things to fill in on that report?
I would just fill it out in an email with bullet points and send it to her. So I'd have all the items listed. in the email, and like prospect name, I'd have Alex Lindenberg, client city, Charlotte, potential $20 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blah 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 blah.
All right. Any other thoughts?
No.
All right. When is a good time to have this done in a trial run? So you all, I don't want Ashley to plug in 20 prospects and then have to come back and redo the whole thing. The ideal is to get a couple of people in there, just make sure it's working. It's everything that you all want, and then add from there. What's a good timeline to have this thing, the initial couple of people, so everybody can look and see what it looks like?
I think by September 1, just because we're transitioning a new team member and we're going to see what she does well and start handing roles to allocate to her. So I just think by September 1, she'll come in mid-August. We can start compiling the list of just names that we all, Andrew, myself, and John have, and kind of get it all ready. And then whether Ashley's going to do it or Isia is going to do it, and hold the advisors accountable. But everyone on the team should be able to know where it is and be able to edit it. We just need someone to be the point or the leader on this project. But I think September 1 would be a good realistic goal, just because we have a new team member starting mid-August.
Will, to be up and running, or just to have a mock?
I was saying up and running.
Yeah. Okay.
We could have it done by August 1.
Yeah, it would be very simple to make the template and to start tinkering it and seeing what works. But yeah, I was saying up and running by September 1. August, we can have it ready by August 1.
Okay. John, this conversation started with what Andrew said at the end of our last call, that he would like to have a way of tracking prospects. I don't know when you came in, but what we've done is just gotten talked about all the items we'd want to be on that Excel spreadsheet. Anything you want to add?
No, I think we after the last conversation, I've worked with Ashley and Will on my stuff. So it's not like we have a lot of prospects. It's a manageable number. We just need to approach the prospects similarly that we're doing the supernova with the clients. And so what I've done with Ashley is I've given her a list of prospects and COIs and put them on a reoccurring schedule. On COI, I have to have lunch or some contact in person quarterly. And then the prospects, I told her, these are the people I need to talk to once a month, make sure they're on my calendar. These guys I need to meet once a quarter, stuff like that. I don't have a lot. It's not like my number is 100. It's less than 50.
But what you just described to me, would it be superseded by what we've talked about here or in addition to?
No, it's going to dovetail into what we're doing as a team. I just want to start getting the stuff together and her looking at my schedule to figure out how we're going to do it all in one place.
Okay, good. Good. So I think that'll go a long way, Andrew, to what we talked about at the end of the last call. Several times I've mentioned the Jim Collins book, Good to Great, and the key thought there, I know you've heard it before, but just to make sure, the key thought is get the wrong people off the bus, get the right people on the bus, and get the right people in the right seats. John, it feels to me as though you got the right people on the bus. Agreed?
Yeah, we'll kick them off if they're not.
Well, that happens too. Now it's getting the right people in the right seats, and I want to begin to help you with this, to ask questions of each of you. And I know the answers, but I want to make sure how you see it. I sent you the other document, and you've seen it before, the five-star leadership model. And I'm not sending that again for any other reason except just to see things that where people can have responsibility. The marketing, it just we've talked about that. But again, just use that as a list of things that you might want to assign to a specific person. And here's the question to begin to help you with the right people in the right seats. John, in just to start with you, in general, what is the right seat for you? I think I know, but I want to ask the question. What do you do really, really well?
Talking with clients and prospective clients.
All right.
I really shouldn't be, and I got to stay out of the other stuff.
Why do you tend to get into the other stuff?
I think I'm just grown-up, old-school grinder that I just sit there and feel like I have to get it done, and probably impatience when I ask someone to do something or I think about doing something is I can do it quicker by myself, and I'm working on that. I'm getting better on that. That's just I'm more delegating stuff that I should not be doing, and I don't even think the clients want me to be doing it either.
Well, the picture I'd paint you, if you were going to reschedule a dental appointment, you wouldn't call in and ask for the dentist, right?
No,
you don't even do that. That's not what you want your dentist or your doctor doing. So you're right. Your clients really would rather you be spending the time with them than with doing things that you probably don't enjoy very much. Do you enjoy the other stuff?
No, and I think for me, I think I have a 10-year window of extreme leverage of getting new clients because of experience and age and approach that I think the more I'm out of the office, the better it's going to be for everybody. But it's hard for me to do because I'm so used to sitting in front of that screen.
Ashley, is John good at delegating?
Yes, I think so. I think we're working on it, and it's a work in progress, but we're getting better at it, I'd say. Working on
good.
The
good. All right. So John, my next question, John, and you've already answered it, is what's the right seat? The next question is what's the wrong seat? The wrong seat for you is getting involved in anything that is back office administrative type stuff.
Or just general hanging out time wasting. Either I should be talking to clients on conference calls, meeting with clients, or meeting with prospects or on the phone with prospects. I really shouldn't be doing anything else. And
so the answer to the question is what's the right seat for you is getting in front of clients and prospects. The wrong seat is anything else.
100%.
All right. Andrew, answer that question for me. What's the right seat for you?
Talking to rich people.
All right.
I say that in a smart-ass way, but that is, I mean, that's what I like to do, and I'm
yeah.
Okay at the service stuff. Anything else, I'm terrible at it, and I bog it down. So I'm trying really hard not to get involved.
So is it exactly...
He's worse than I am. He shouldn't be involved in anything.
Except getting in front of the right people.
Yeah, he just needs to not even... I think they should take this computer away.
Well,
I'm not good. I've spent my whole career being on the road. I'm not good at operations. I don't want to be involved in it.
All right. Do you feel you're pretty good at avoiding that stuff, Andrew?
I'm getting better about it.
Okay. All right, Will, what's the right seat?
The right seat for me would be to handle all of this micro stuff and take all the stuff off their plates so they can do what they're good at and be out of the office and getting new money and growing. At this point in my I enjoy assisting on all of that stuff, so I can help with almost being a COO or overseeing the service implementation and behind the scenes making sure that we get everything done and delegate and I have the patience. But I've recognized the biggest value I can provide to the team right now is to make sure that Andrew and John are not getting bogged down in the service or the micro stuff and are out growing the business. And I also enjoy assisting them behind the scenes, putting together information and prospecting stuff in order to support them on the business development.
What's the wrong seat?
The wrong seat for me is in the past and during the transition, I had to step into more of a wire journals, assisting on absolutely everything under the sun. And I'm not good at that. I'm not trained on that, and that's not something I should be doing. And so that's kind of the wrong seat for me, is to make sure that although I'm helping on the day-to-day stuff, that I'm not actually getting bogged down in that stuff and should be focusing on assisting them on the business development and some of the more client relationship stuff. And with all this being said, I still do have responsibilities for accounts that I'm point on, for which are referrals or legacy accounts, all under $1 million. So that's something as well that we should keep in mind.
What would you to differentiate between what you described as the micro stuff and the administrative stuff? Your stuff is more client facing.
Yes, that's what I would behind the scenes and. Yes, that's what I would hope to be, is more client-facing and more being able to delegate it and find the right person and go to Andrew and John after we've done our analysis with maybe one question instead of and doing 98% of the stuff instead of Andrew and John having to delegate and do 100% of the BS or the clerical stuff that they shouldn't have to make decisions on.
All right.
For example, we just had a client's daughter reach out to John to fill out a compliance form for her new job in investment banking. John should never have to ever deal with that, and he properly delegated it to someone else. But that's just a classic example that just because John is so responsive and usually gets it done, is that they're going to him to ask that, and I think that's wrong.
Do
you
agree with that, John?
To go to her dad.
John, do you agree with that?
100%. And
right.
Ashley's done a great job, and I've told Ashley privately this. She's got up and running better than any person I've ever seen, but the beauty of Ashley is you bring something up to do, there's no 15 questions to ask how to do it. You get the email saying it's done, and I have been dumping a lot more stuff on her. She does it without complaining. She does it properly. She follows up. It's a godsend for me. I just hate having to, and I think what's making it better for me is I'm able to delegate. As long as once I delegate, I don't have to keep getting status reports of if it's done or not. When I give Ashley something to do it or Will something, it just gets done, and we're not wasting three more emails or calls about it. It's just, it's become seamless, which has been great.
Well, you've touched on something I was getting ready to mention. The most important thing for you, John, is to be able to – what will make it easier for you to let go is knowing once you give something to, in this case, Ashley, you know it's done. Unless she comes back to you, you get to assume that it's done the way you want it to get done. Fair?
Yeah, and the best thing is clients now, they'll CC me on email, but they'll say, send me $100,000 to my Bank of America account, blah, blah, blah. And Ashley's on the email, they know Ashley's going to do it.
Yep.
That's the ultimate goal.
It sounds like you're close to it already. Ashley, in the bottom of the hour here, what's the right seat for you?
I mean, the right seat for me is taking the pressure off of them and, you know, coming to – with maybe if I do have 15 questions, thinking them through, and then coming to Will for a lot of them, I mean, and not bogging them down with all the little ones. So I would say, you know, the day-to-day working with the wires and the journals and doing the back-end stuff of, like, sending people information for compliance, that's where I can help, and then working with ECA to get things straightened out. So that's what I would say,
right,
taking the pressure off.
And a key here from your side, Ashley, is if there is something that you need to know that you're not afraid to ask. I mean, if you know,
yes,
nobody knows it all. It's always better to ask than to guess. It sounds like you're comfortable doing that with Will or Andrew or John.
And she'll tell a client she doesn't know, which is the greatest strength there is, and she knows where to go to get the answer, which I appreciate.
Yeah. What's the wrong seat, Ashley?
The wrong seat. I'm not. I don't know. I guess.
Fidelity.
Wait, what? I don't know yet. The wrong seat. I'm enjoying my seat right now. I haven't been in it very long, so.
Yep.
Wherever it goes to, and then if I, you know, as we go through things, I'm sure I'll find things that I'm not very good at, and then I'll know, hey, that's not a strength.
All right. Good stuff. What I'd ask you all to do for the next meeting is give it some more thought on responsibilities, who's going to be responsible for, again, just looking at that, the brand that I've sent out numerous occasions. Just look at that and think of what each person would be best at. Any questions?
No, thank you for your time.
All right. Talk to you next month.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.